Blog Talk Radio.
Politics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We are having a few little technical difficulties here this morning. I'm not sure if I'm coming through. Let me check. I have a caller on the line. Let's see if she can hear me. Hello, Eve. How are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty well, and yes, I can hear you.
Okay, fantastic. And we were having some kind of weird, they just rolled out a new software update on Blog Talk, so I just wasn't sure if everything was working the way
sounds
it should
good to
be.
Me.
Okay,
yeah.
You sound good too. No echo, which is really great. All righty. I'll let you go back to listening. Thanks,
okay.
Eve. Talk
Thank
later.
You.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, folks, I know, as you know, if you've been listening to the show, I've been going over a book called Macht der Gedanken, or The Might of Thoughts. It's one of the 39 books written by Edward Albert Meyer, a farmer who lives in a little tiny mountain village in Switzerland called Hinterschmidrüti. Hinterschmidrüti is about 52 minutes from Zurich by car. If you're familiar with this show at all, you know how incredible his story is. So I won't rehash that at the particular moment. But instead, I'll dive right into this material because it's very practical. It's very down to earth. And I think anybody can benefit from this. I'm going through this book for the second time, and I'm getting closer to the end again. It goes much faster the second time through. In the introduction to this book, there's a woman named Elizabeth Moosbrugger who kind of wrote the preface here, and she said that this book lies before you and is dedicated to a humankind that is ill in its consciousness so that it finds again the creational natural way which it lost long ago. And so many people today are suffering from depression and addictions and all sorts of issues. And this book can help you help yourself, which is one of the things that we need to learn to do, particularly in this time, which is called the third millennium, according to Meyer material, and for the next 800 years, we will have much confusion and maliciousness, which will spread over the earth. However, if you take the time to analyze your own thinking, look at your consciousness like a garden, and take the time to weed your consciousness and pull out those bad thoughts, Learn the key to broadening your perspective and stop the cycle, the circulation of unhealthy thoughts, then you can take a large step into gaining control of the circumstances in your life, gaining control of your health, and really help yourself very much. Now, one of the things that we want to do is clarify our thoughts. And clarify means to make a situation less confused and more comprehensible. The word confusion was originally a Latin term, and it means a lack of understanding and uncertainty. But I think if you look at it back in the Latin, it's much clearer what they were talking about. Because in the Latin, it meant to pour two things together, to mingle them. For example, if you had a glass of water and a glass of tea and you poured the two together, you could not really separate the tea from the water. So this is where confusion comes in. So with the confusion, the boundary between things are lost and the distinction between things are lost. And what we want is a purposeful existence. And our thoughts can become more purposeful as we clarify them. And it helps to repeat thoughts, to nurture good thoughts, focus on good thoughts, put yourself in a situation where you can relax, where you can de-stress, where you can get back to neutral, positive thoughts, because once your thoughts are animated, they take on a life of their own. Just as a gardener gathers, you know, corn or sweet potatoes or tomatoes from his garden, you will have a harvest from your own consciousness. Now, if you have wildly growing weeds in your consciousness, then you'll have negative repeating thoughts. And those wildly growing weeds, those negative repeating thoughts, will cause your perceptive ability to be very limited. And you can only move in a narrow framework, which only allows the limited and the negative perceptions. And it'll force your thoughts into a cycle where the same themes and thoughts appear over and over again. And the rotation of these thoughts is very hard sometimes to break free from. So that's why it's very important to not fall prey to this cycle of negative repeating thoughts. The best thing is not to go there. The human being is sometimes shaken and knocked out by the circumstances of their life, especially if you think that you are subject to the circumstances of your life. Actually, every human being is the Lord and Master of his or her entire life. Every human being who practices self-cognition and takes up self-examination learns to grow in self-control. That which the human being thinks, he makes real. Good and positive thoughts must be tended and nurtured. And nurture means to feed and protect. Nurture can also mean to support and encourage. For example, kittens. We have to nurture young, growing things. Well, our thoughts are the same way. Just like the plants in our garden, we have to nurture, we have to cherish, we have to feed that healthy thinking. If you've gone down the wrong path in life, if you've become a criminal, a felon, a miser, if you're depraved, if you're jealous, if you're vengeful, any of those things, you've harbored those kinds of thoughts in your consciousness for a long time. Addiction is another thing. We can have all kinds of addictions. Addiction is a chronic brain disease that causes a compulsive substance use. Well, there's other kinds of addictions too. People become addicted to video games. People can become addicted to sex. People can become addicted to alcohol. And what happens is that we have these reward pathways in the brain, and we stimulate those reward pathways. And that behavior then is repeated, even if it's unhealthy behavior. And that's a part of our dopamine system. It's called the mesolimbic dopamine system. So we have these brain pathways which are firing, which are giving us a positive reward sometimes to behaviors that are not good. So we have to step in and even too much food, that often what happens when we gain too much weight, we're getting these stimulation from our brain, our pathways in our brain, which tell us to eat more because we feel a little better sometimes when we eat. The problem is drawing the line where enough is enough. And the problem is that we don't think consciously all the time. Sometimes we're unconscious in our thinking, which is a big eye-opener for me, because I didn't know we could think unconsciously. We have unconscious perceptions, unconscious thoughts, unconscious feelings. And the unconscious is the part of the mind that is inaccessible to the conscious mind. Your conscious mind can't even go there, but your unconscious mind affects your behavior and your emotions. Remember, your emotions are different than your feelings. Your emotions explode up sometimes in a reflexive action, where feelings sometimes move more slowly, and feelings are often a response to thought. So our unconscious has the ability to cause circumstances in our lives. Empirical evidence suggests that unconscious phenomena include repressed feelings, subliminal perceptions, thoughts, habits, automatic reactions, hidden phobias, desires. All of these are in the subconscious. You know, most people want good things in their life. However, our wrongly steered thoughts sometimes stop those good things from happening. Because sometimes we'll maintain wishes, hopes, yearnings, which are really not in our best interest. Sometimes those hopes and yearnings aren't agreeing with the good and the positive. Now, there's also yearnings which are good. You have to make those decisions for yourself. Our thoughts can be controlled and maintained, and we can maintain inner freedom and harmony. See, that's the key, is when you start to lose your inner freedom. You can have outward freedom. I think of a person that is completely rich, has no, doesn't have to work, has total free time, almost limitless financial resources. But if they have no inner freedom, they will become a slave. They can become a slave to drugs, a slave to relationships. There are very rich slaves. The key is controlling and maintaining our thoughts, and then we can maintain inner freedom and harmony. Some of the synonyms for harmony include concord, unity, peace, friendship. And inner harmony can be maintained by neutral, positive thinking. Something which is neutral doesn't support either side of a conflict. We need to be balanced between the negative and the positive. Now, Billy in 1998 had an interview where he talked about self-control. And he said that self-control must be self-evident and can only be gained through arduous self-scrutiny, where every iota of one's own thoughts is kept completely safe and under control, regardless of the outside influence. Arduous scrutiny means scrutiny that requires great exertion. It can be laborious and difficult at times. Very easy to see negative things today. There's plenty of opportunity to see negative things. But what happens if you focus on the negative, your perceptual ability will become very limited, and your world of thoughts will fall prey to this limitation, and your thoughts will move within a very narrow framework, which only allows limited and negative perceptions. The thoughts are thereby forced into a cycle in which the same thoughts and themes appear again and again. Now, feelings are very important for carrying out your life. It's just why they must not be stifled and eliminated in any form. This is probably something I could look into in a little greater depth. But we shouldn't stifle our feelings. We shouldn't eliminate our feelings. Now, the difference between feelings and emotions is easy to recognize. Those emotions, they come suddenly, like lightning, surging, uncontrollable, and they're very short in duration usually. However, feelings tend to manifest more slowly, and they are associated with the preceding thought process, quite in contrast to emotions, which, according to the book here, the emotions are not preceded by a thought process, which is in itself strange to me as well. That emotions are not preceded by any thought. So we have both conscious and unconscious thinking, which creates our feelings. And we have conscious feelings, we have unconscious feelings, evidently. Now, lower thoughts form lower feelings. And then those lower feelings can lead to lower habits, and lower habits tend to lead to lower circumstances. Some examples of lower circumstances are alcoholism, hate, affliction, resentment, sorrow, grief, errors in judgment, some signposts for you to check. Are you in a state of confusion? Are you feeling exhausted? Then you may be cycling negative thoughts. You know, these habits that we get, the habit of having a negative thought, the habit of doing something that's not good for us, it's a routine of behavior that's repeated, sometimes unconsciously. Now, our consciousness can literally determine our health. This is an amazing thing. Anxiety and fear kill thousands of people. Anxious thoughts are very demoralizing. Wrong thoughts have a way of shaking our entire nervous system. So we need to learn and recognize when we're having neutral, positive, equalized, healthy, and happy thoughts. One of the ways I found to recognize a neutral, positive thought is it will usually help you to relax. And you need to kind of steer the circumstances in your life so you have time to relax. Because if you take time to relax, it tends to help your thoughts get back in a neutral state. And then you'll say, wow, I feel better. I didn't know I was feeling worse before. Well, probably because your inner harmony was slowly being eroded away. So we all need to find the quiet time, find a place that helps you to relax. Do not allow your thought boat to drive unchecked on the ocean of our consciousness, because unconscious intentions can come right out. Now, stress is something that's an unhealthy thought. Stress causes cortisol to be dumped into your system. Cortisol suppresses your immune system. So don't allow stress to come in. Learn to meditate. It's one of the ways. We talked about meditation here. Meditation is truly the skill of learning to control your thoughts. It's fixing your thoughts on some image. Try to push all verbal thought out of your mind. Focus on some image. Sometimes you can use colors, blue, green, yellow, red. Focus on images that are those different colors. Take deep breaths. Let negative energy out. Each time you take a deep breath, you could let negative energy out that way. But if you get back into a neutral state of thinking, somehow the creational natural laws, the universal consciousness, helps those who are magnanimous, who are relaxed, who are in self-control. A magnanimous person is very forgiving. He helps those who are less powerful than himself. He's said to be generous. He's forgiving of insult and injury. He's free from petty resentfulness. Learn to be magnanimous. In the book of OM, it describes a person following the spiritual teachings. Now, the book of OM, if you haven't heard, is called Omphalon Marado. It's one of the Meyer material, some of the Meyer material. Omphalon Marado in Lyrian means navel of life. Anyway, a person following the spiritual teachings in this book is said to be magnanimous. His entire sense is magnanimous. And beauty expresses itself in his plain life, full of spiritual dignity. His inner stillness brings a beauty that no artist can paint and no poet may describe in words. So we need to work towards an inner stillness. One of the things that the Meyer information talks about are these we forms. I haven't studied enough about this to really know exactly what all the we forms are, and I think they may be group consciousness but I don't know for sure. The we forms, anyway, they are beyond space and time, and so are their perspectives. And there's a we form known as the Patali level, and that's one of the levels our spirit form goes to after death. And this is when we're at the very, this is after millions and billions of years of reincarnating. We'll finally get up to these levels, the Patali level. Remember, we have a spiritual consciousness and a material consciousness. The material consciousness is of the person you are in this lifetime. It is the factor that controls your material consciousness is your psyche. In your psyche is your conscious mind, your unconscious mind, your subconscious mind, your personality, your intellect. Your psyche can have a nervous breakdown. Your psyche can go insane. Your psyche can be miserable. Your spiritual consciousness is invulnerable to any kind of harm. But the point of our material life is to allow the spiritual consciousness to evolve. And we have many, many, many lifetimes. Death is just the passage into the world of pure spirit. And we spend a certain amount of time. The Meyer material says, under normal circumstances, we would spend a lifetime and a half on the spiritual side before coming back into the physical. And the spirit form comes into the child at 21 days. It enters into the superior colliculus. The material consciousness comes in at that time as well. And in your subconscious is the wisdom of your predecessor personalities. So anyway, do not ever allow yourself to drift on the ocean of life. Take control of your life. Grab your hands on the steering wheel. Do not let adversity take your hands off of the steering wheel. Steer your life and use optimism, because optimism is a good problem solver. Optimism is required to have consistency in your life. Real optimism is incredibly important in our life. Real optimism helps our psyche. Optimism is hopefulness and confidence about the future. Synonyms include hopefulness, cheerfulness. Optimism is a mental attitude. It's a worldview. Optimism seems to have an effect on our health, a positive effect on our psychological well-being. Optimists tend to come out of difficult circumstances with less distress than pessimists. Furthermore, optimism may be a bit of a coping mechanism, because optimists seem to face problems face on, head on, taking active and constructive steps to solve their problems. Now, that doesn't mean we become positive thinkers necessarily. We have optimism. Optimism comes from a Latin word, optimum, meaning that which is best. And since about the 18th century, it refers to those who are confident even in bad situations. And optimists tend to view things from the best side. Optimists are better in stress. Pessimists have higher levels of cortisol, which I mentioned earlier. Cortisol is a stress hormone. Cortisol will help you metabolize fat and carbohydrate. That's a good thing. But it suppresses your immune system. If you're more optimistic, there are studies which have been done that if you're more optimistic, you tend to recover from surgery better. And an optimist actually has a little better chance of seeing the real truth in a situation. Optimists shouldn't be clowns or comical figures either. But hopeful and happy, neutral, positive. Optimism should be balanced. Optimism presents a quality which fascinates people as well. Because if people can see that you're optimistic, not unrealistically optimistic, not ridiculous in your positive thinking, but optimistic even in negative situations, that's fascinating to people. And people become enchanted by that. And they will tend to listen to an optimist a little bit more, because people are looking for help, generally speaking. However, optimism is not belief. Not belief. We should not live our life by belief, because belief leads to illogic, and it can have an incredibly hypnotic effect on you. Belief is holding on to something, even though you cannot support it through logic or through any kind of rigorous proof. Hypnosis actually puts you in a state of consciousness where the person loses power over their own volitional action and becomes highly responsible to suggestion or direction. Hypnotic drugs, there are even hypnotic drugs that are out there. Hypnosis is a state involving your consciousness in a state where it's very highly suggestible. And Billy explains that belief is based on wrong thinking, negative thinking, displacement of a reality. So you can even through belief become estranged from the real facts of life. Logic, on the other hand, it's a science, is a way of thinking that allows you to use, for example, deductive reasoning is one example. If A, then B. So, for example, a deductive argument could say, all men are mortal, Mark is a man, therefore Mark is mortal. He's going to die someday. Alienation can occur. Sometimes religion can alienate us from the facts of life. You can become tormented in your conscious mind, in your unconscious mind. You can have anxiety and fear if you depend on actually on prayer and faith. If the human being, on the other hand, can consciously steer his own life, his own thoughts, then it will empower him. And he'll start to see more success. Now, steering means to guide or control. For example, by turning a wheel. In order to be great in your consciousness, as well as your ideas, thoughts, and feelings, you should also not be submissive. Doesn't mean you're disrespectful or necessarily rebellious either. But to be great in your own consciousness, you should not be submissive. Allow your inner self to become powerful. Dare to execute reason. Do not lapse into submissiveness. You know, it's very interesting, but the religions enforce submissiveness. But we should not be a submissive slave to an imaginary deity, to angels, to saints, or anything else. Don't practice submissiveness, but be self-responsible. Be neutral positive in your outlook. Your thoughts are incredibly powerful. We should be people who govern themselves in every respect. Do not lapse into errors in concentration, memory, or judgment. Do not lapse into submissiveness. Consider it your duty to live a life that's going to help the evolution of your consciousness. Now, the whole universe the whole universal consciousness is created to evolve. Everything in nature is designed to evolve. And creation itself has a structure. Our visible universe is divided into seven belts. And in some way that I don't completely understand yet, our universe has a double spiral, just like our DNA. I don't completely understand that yet, but our universe is egg-shaped, and it's divided into these seven rings. The fourth ring is the solid-state material universe. And I do occasionally communicate with Marianne Ullinger Mondrian in Switzerland, and she calls the creation this. She says the creation doesn't have a consciousness. It is the consciousness. And it doesn't work in the same way a human consciousness works. It is pure spiritual energy, and it works in a spirit energetic way, which I don't think we completely understand. Our thinking is not analogous to the spiritual, energetic way that creation works. Now, human life is incredibly ancient in the universe, and we've talked about the spirit form before, called Nokodemian, who was one of the first human beings in our universe. And his spirit form is said to be 9.6 billion years old. And Billy Edward Albert Meyer is the bearer of the spirit form Nokodemian. And this spirit has incarnated other times here on Earth. And there were six other sequential incarnations, my understanding is: Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And all of these were prophets. Now, there are in our Milky Way galaxy 2,630,000 highly developed human civilizations. There are 7 million solar systems in our galaxy on which higher forms of life exist. And this spirit form, Nokodemian, has incarnated before on other worlds in our universe. And he's been kind of a prophet and a teacher on these other worlds. Now, creation has an infinite beauty above all beauty. Whenever we see anything beautiful, we should trace it back to the infinite beauty of creation itself. In fact, all of our joys can be traced back to the joy of creation. All the beauty of nature can relate it back to creation. Every time a human being sees cognition reach expression, he can relate that back to the cognition of creation. Creation exists in every human being as a fragment. You have a fragment of creation. Your spirit form is a fragment of creation. Our personality becomes more powerful the more we know about creation, the more blessed our entire life will be. Semyase said to Billy, the more his intelligence is effective in the direction, the more it gains radiating light, the more powerful his personality becomes, the more blessed his entire life and work becomes. Meaning, the more we understand and learn about creation, the more we control the power of our own thoughts, the more you will be blessed. And remember, there's no need to be submissive. You can be respectful and not be submissive. You need to recognize that the incredible power of your thoughts is much more than we could ever understand. In our life today, in our civilization, we have all kinds of egoism, materialism, thirst for adventure, and self-pity. These are all examples of materialistic intellectual thinking. And the materialistic intellectual thinker thinks in a kind of unlogic. And we don't need to be thinking in unlogic. Remember, I talked about those prophets, one of the prophets being Emmanuel. The Meyer material says the person that we call Christ today was actually called Emmanuel many, many years ago, and that the name Jesus was only invented, say, 1,500 years ago. And some Christian pastors know this, and some argue he was called Yeshua. Some argue he was called Iesus in the Greek, Yeshua in the Hebrew. The Meyer material, through the book called The Talmud of Emmanuel, says that he was called Emmanuel. And he never claimed to be God or the Son of God, or never claimed to have created the universe, never had any association in his thinking, in his practice, to Christianity in any way. The Meyer material sees Christianity as kind of a sect, a cult, that came up later. You notice the suppression of reincarnation, of the concept of reincarnation, when all of nature shows us the example of reincarnation. Let me read a little bit of Canon 14 from the book of the OM, Omphalon Mirado, The Navel of Life, which I mentioned earlier. On this side of Earth is the life of the coarse mattered material and the learning period and evolution connected there within. But in the space of the other side, in the life of the spiritual and the evolution of the spirit form connected there within, also the preparation of the spirit form for the reincarnation into a new human body takes place on the other side. And this side and the other side equally occupy the same space. However, they are separated by two dimensions, that is, by the visible and the palpable material plane, which we live in now, and by the invisible and impalpable spiritual plane, which we will live in after death, our spiritual consciousness and our material consciousness. Remember, the spiritual consciousness and the material consciousness go into two separate areas on the spiritual side. And your most recent life experiences are processed by something called the overall consciousness block. And those most recent life experiences, that which has value, is processed into these evolutive values of love, peace, all the things that are neutral, positive in nature that can be absorbed by your spirit form. Therefore, anyway, there are these two different dimensions, the spiritual area and the material plane. The material plane is for the physical life, and the spiritual plane is for the spirit form of the man. And verse 15 of the OM, it says, therefore man liveth and dieth, and is born again into a new body. And this type of becoming and passing away repeats itself until the time has arrived at which the spirit form of man, a minute portion of creation, does not need a material body anymore for further evolution. And Billy gives a clarification in the book called the psyche, a clarification regarding the human spirit. He says this. He says, if now it is learned that the human being is animated by a tiny part piece of the creational spirit, then that means in no cause that this is a part piece of creation, universal consciousness itself. However, an energy and power part piece merely created from it, which is self-independent. It's the self-independent form of the creational human spirit. Likewise, it evolves through the evolution of the human material consciousness. So, a lot goes on during reincarnation, and I talk about reincarnation a lot on this show. We have many millions of lifetimes. There are 7 evolutionary steps the human societies and civilizations go. We're still stuck in stage 2 here on Earth. We're in rational life, although we don't even act rationally all the time. Now, there are different kinds of evolution. There's actually something called microevolution. Bacteria and viruses, they actually evolve in what's called microevolution. There's also intelligence evolution. Higher species of animals have intelligence evolution. Animals such as apes, dolphins, horses, ravens, pigs, goats, parrots, all sorts of animals, donkeys, cattle, bears, beasts of prey, elephants, dogs, cats, sheep, and so forth. Now, this is not like the consciousness evolution of the human being. And that's a hard thing to understand. Our consciousness evolution includes an increase of awareness. And I don't think that animals necessarily have that much of an increase in their awareness, even though their intelligence does evolve over lifetimes. Now, there were in the ancient past, and there still is today, what are called Ishwishes, J-H-W-H. This is ancient Lemurian for a king of wisdom. Now, Ptah, one of Billy's contacts, Pelagon, Jehovah, Atlant, Eris, are all examples of Ishwishes. And there are Ishrishes, which are women. These are human beings that are living in the later stages of the human material existence. They're in the 5th stage. And then eventually, these kings of wisdom will change over into half-spiritual forms. Kings of wisdom have been called gods in the past. And this title, J-H-W-H, was brought here to the earth by our Lyrian ancestors. Now, what happened, for example, with the Jews, they had a false understanding of who these kings of wisdom were. And some of the kings of wisdom were only kings of wisdom in terms of their technical knowledge. They were not necessarily yet balanced in their spiritual knowledge. And some of these Ishwishes behaved in ways that were very bad. Anyway, the Hebrews came up with this false understanding with the unutterable name God. Now, various designations for God have appeared over time, such as Yahweh, Jehovah, Adonai, Elohim, Lord. But these were misunderstandings that occurred on the earth. Now, in Canon 10 in the OM, it talks about that there were these people on the earth called watchers that unfortunately were also given the name angel at time, which is another unfortunate concept that has come into our world today. The kings of wisdom that have been here in the ancient past, they have a different nature in their perception. In the vibration of earth humans can kill them. They cannot be in the presence of unevolved earth humanity and our vibrations of negativity and evil. They're highly sensitive to that. The earth humans in the ancient past worshipped and adored these kings of wisdom, these J-H-W-H, these gods, but they were not creation. Creation, the universal consciousness, is the only thing that should have adoration. and worship. Ask It says this. She says, Earth humanity has achieved a high standing of technical evolution. However, really only in regard to the technical, and that which pertains to a purely material understanding. The evolution in terms of the spiritual and the consciousness, however, until now has been maliciously disadvantaged and neglected. Our spiritual consciousness on Earth is maliciously disadvantaged. It's displaced by worldly and material thoughts. Many kinds of evil things have grown and degenerated into fanaticism here on the Earth. Now we live in something called a consciousness condition tyranny. And because we live in this consciousness condition tyranny, we are having kind of a crisis in the United States right now. And this crisis manifests itself in some very, very unusual ways. I really think we're seeing in some ways the breakdown of our society, the breakdown of our legal system, the breakdown of our government. The Meyer material talks about a dark order that's coming out of our ruling class. And some people that study these things are paying very, very close attention to what's going on with this dark order. I'd like to play a clip quickly from Alex Jones talking with Dr. Michael Savage about the, they don't use the terms that I use, but they're talking about the same thing when they watch the de-evolution of our society right now. So let me get this queued up for us here. Take me just a second. My clips take a while to start up, particularly with Windows Media Player. I should start it before the show. I just never remember to do that. Yes, maliciousness, confusion is spreading over the Earth in the third millennium. Here we go.
The police are super awake despite all their problems. The country's disintegrating. I mean, you know, what do you expect? The military, from what I've seen, is super awake to what's going on. Doesn't that give the socialists, the globalists, a problem? Isn't that their Achilles heel?
No, because Obama gutted all of the combat veterans who could have led a movement against an illegitimate government. He started it right after Benghazi. I named them in my last book. One general after the other was purged like Stalin purged them, only instead of shooting them, first they smeared the generals. He got drunk in Moscow. You hear this? He got drunk in Moscow, so they fired the chief of our nuclear arsenal, the man who knew how to run the nuclear system. He was fired for getting drunk in Moscow. Another one was found with a gambling chip in his trousers after going gambling. I mean, if that was the score here, they would have all quit. I guarantee they've done more than get drunk and go gambling. So, no, they're gone. The police have been deballed by this illegitimate, racist administration. Holder has deballed the police. Look what they've done in various cities, using the pretext of racism, all lies, to deball the police. So, yeah, the police are there. They're brave and they're armed. The military is there. They're brave and they're armed. But who's going to lead them? Without a Napoleon, where do the troops go?
Well, that's another point. That's why George Soros got caught, as you know, openly trying to fund the white instigators they send in to chant, you know, kill the pigs and all this, and then they get away with it. It's so clear they're trying to start a civil war.
You know, remember my last book, Stop the Coming Civil War?
Yes.
Well, guess what? It started. We don't have to talk about it. Has there been a civil war? Yeah, it's a slow-burning civil war. What do you think we're looking at here? It's a race war. These are their shock troops. And they don't have the brown shirts yet. They don't have the armbands. But soon Obama could deputize them. Isn't that a natural army for him, Alex?
It is. That's what he called for, a national security force.
Take the Crips and the Bloods, give them a green uniform, and give them a weapon. And they'll keep order in the streets, won't they?
It's so crazy, and history's repeating itself. It's just bizarro land. Dr. Michael Savage is our guest. We're going to come right back into his new book, Michael Savage, Countdown to Mecca, straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones. We're here Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Anyway, we could have a civil war in this country. Now, the Meyer information and the Hanok prophecies says that we may have two civil wars, and that the United States could be divided into five different regions. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Let's take control of the might of our thoughts. Let's bring the circumstances of our lives individually into control. Let's stay in a neutral, positive state of mind and not get out of balance during this time of disarray that we live in. Anyway, that's about our show this evening, this morning. I hope you've enjoyed it. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we'll talk later. Thanks.